Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, hour number two, Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. For your calls, it's 800-919-3776. We'll keep them stacked, racked, and ready to go. But there's we're getting closer to the NFL draft now in a couple of weeks, and the ongoing conversation has mainly been about the quarterbacks. Of course it is, because every year that's what it is, and it feels like another one of those five quarterbacks taken in the first round kind of drafts. And if you're a team like the Jets at 10, you might be in business. There might be a team willing to give up something to get to you, and then you could get some draft capital, so something to watch there. For the Giants, though, at 6,
that's prime.
They could get their quarterback at 6. They could still, but it might not be like we said. Just because there are quarterbacks available and they're being projected at a certain place, it doesn't mean you have to. If you don't feel like that's our guy, if you just feel strongly like, I don't know, I don't think this guy fits what we want, and we'll be wasting a pick. Because if you're a Giants fan, you have to believe that if you don't have a quarterback that you love at 6, the next thing to get is a wide receiver. It has to be Bart. Because you have no playmakers on that team right now without Saquon Barkley.
I thought that was the first thing that they get. I never thought that the Giants were in the market.
Ask a Giants fan, I think they want to get a quarterback. I think they feel like in this draft you might get lucky, and the better ones might be slept on, and you could get somebody.
You get a quarterback that's thrown to nobody.
Yeah, that's also a bit of a problem.
But you
have Daniel Jones for one more year to sort of, you know, like you can protect the kid. But I want you to
why not hope to strike it big by getting somebody that's the hidden gem that's going to fall to the second round. Like we saw Lamar Jackson almost fall into the second round,
that's true.
The Ravens moved back into the first round to get him, and the Ravens got the better quarterback out of that draft, the only two-time MVP out of that draft.
That 2019 draft should be the cautionary tale, shouldn't it?
Right. So that's what I'm saying.
Is it 2017? 2017 draft? Yeah.
So if you're not
the cautionary tale.
So if you're not sure and you're not getting a guy like number one, which is always dangerous anyway at 6. I mean, the Jets, you know, the 6th pick for the Jets is like cursed. It's like 666. We can go to all the 6s that we got, and we realize we got the Antichrist. You know what I mean? But if you go,
it's a mean thing to say about went 6.
If you're the I think D. Milliner, I don't need to go down those names.
Oh, don't say that.
Anyway, but you know, you think about like the Giants. The first thing is getting a playmaker. You hope that you solidified your offensive line. Now you get to really assess Daniel Jones. You believe that you want to get out of that contract if you can. But, you know, with that second pick that they have, they can package that second pick that they have. It's going to be teams like Baltimore who doesn't mind moving out of the first round, like Kansas City who doesn't mind moving down in the first round because they feel like, hey, if our guy's still there, we'll move back, get more draft capital because they have to be good in the draft because they pay their players so much money. Chris Jones is making $31 million, Travis Kelce, and, of course, Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, they got people they have to pay as well. You know what I mean? They lost their inside linebacker, Gay. You know, there's certain things. So, like, they don't mind moving back because they'd rather have a controllable asset that they can, you know, have only for 4 years and don't have to give the big signing bonus to. So, it's going to be guys in the back end that's willing to move out of the first round. And the Giants can move back up if they think that the kid Pratt from Tulane is a baller, or if they think that, you know, if Penix drops down – because if Penix doesn't go in a certain like past 13, then he could tumble all the way down to the bottom.
There's a lot, I think, for the Giants to consider. But I do think wide receiver is something that is going to be at the top of Joe Shane's list. And because at 6 you could get a difference maker, and you have Daniel Jones, who when healthy is, you know, he's good. So you can showcase that player and then figure out what you're doing at quarterback, like you said, maybe later on. But I want you to listen to something. So Matt Miller, who's one of our draft experts at ESPN, he was on with Adam Schefter on the podcast. And all along, who has been the number one wide receiver in this draft?
Malik Nabers.
Play along, please.
Marvin Harrison.
Right? Marvin Harrison.
Who didn't work out, didn't do anything.
He was considered the number one. And there's been other names, and you mentioned it's Roma Dunze.
Yep.
And then also you just said Malik Nabers, right, or two other guys. Listen to Matt Miller talking about the order of these wide receivers in the draft and how it is not a given that it is going to go along with what we have seen so far.
You know, I think if the three of us sat down in a room together and watched film on these wide receivers, we would all probably end up with different things we liked about each of them. That's what's happening now. And especially as you scout for an individual scheme like the Arizona Cardinals, you're probably going to want something different than a team like the Buffalo Bills might want or like the Los Angeles Chargers might want. So I think that's where some of the discrepancy comes in is for your scheme, Malik Nabers with that awesome speed and yards after catch ability might be more attractive to you than, you know, this true vertical receiver who's a great route runner in Marvin Harrison Jr. Or maybe you look at what San Francisco has done with two really like bullies playing wide receiver, and you would love Rome Odunze because you want that 215-pound guy that's just going to dominate on 50-50 balls. So I think some of it comes down to the type of quarterback you have and then the type of offense you run and trying to decide which of those wide receivers best fits what you want. But those are the three. The order they come off the board, I think, will be one of the most fascinating parts of the first round.
Yeah, it gets really interesting because we think we know what the Chargers want. Everything that Harbaugh talks about is building through the trenches. They also lost Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. They lost their two, and the person that they have coming in is Palmer and the kid from TCU that they drafted last year, Quentin, I think. So they need receivers in the worst way as well, but they also need, you know, you got Joe Alt sitting right there to go with Slater to give you two bookends to be able to run the football like Harbaugh wants to do. So for me, it's intriguing. One, we think we know that no matter what, if Arizona stays in the spot, they're going to go get a receiver. But I think the first intriguing position that we run into is at five with the Chargers, not knowing if they're going to go quarterback or lineman. And also how far, because we know that we believe that Atlanta doesn't – they want defense. Is Atlanta a team that's willing to move back to get more assets at eight? Is Tennessee a team that's willing to move back for? Because you look at Denver, you look at Minnesota, all looking to jump up, and you know Minnesota traded a first round pick for next year, this year to have that ammunition to jump up. Who's going to open the door and give them an invite to Minnesota? Because I think Minnesota is the team that has the ammunition this year. Because everybody else can give you a first this year and then maybe a first, second this year, but Minnesota can give you two firsts this year, and you're only dropping down to 11. So do they call the team like the Chargers and say, hey, man, you can have our 11th pick, and you can still get if what you were trying to get was a tackle, yeah, Joe Alt's not there, but, you know, J.C. Latham is still there. It all depends on how they have these teams weighted. So for me, if that happens, then – the Giants just go ahead and pick. If you know what I mean, because who else is trying to move up to grab somebody unless then Denver says, oh, okay, well, we want to get our quarterback of the future. But Denver needs as many draft picks as they can get because they don't have nothing because they gave all their picks away from Russell Wilson.
Right.
And they got a lot of holes in their team. So they may say, you know what, we're just going to pick. Right. So I think what happens with San Diego, what potentially happens with Arizona affects the Giants big time because they may not have a dance partner if they want to move back, so they may just be forced to make the pick, right? You would like them to move down and get more picks if they could, especially if they think, you know, the three receivers. If Arizona drops out and somebody moves up, then we know that's a quarterback. So that's probably four quarterbacks off the board. So that means it's still – three good linemen, still three good receivers there. So the Giants have to monitor if Arizona moves out and if San Diego or the Chargers decide to get a lineman, then, man, you can move back. You can move back and let Minnesota, Denver jump you because you're going to end up with one of the three top receivers.
Yeah.
Now you worry, like if the Jets at 10, if you move to 11 – With Minnesota.
Would the Jets take a wide receiver there?
I think you would. They might
but
have
to. You keep
to.
Saying they won't take the tight end.
No, no.
They won't take Brock Bowers.
They won't, I don't think they'll
receiver.
Take him.
But so if one of these three somehow, some way, you know, Odunze falls
yeah,
to 10.
Yeah, yeah. If Odunze is there, then you got to
take him. Yeah. Interesting. And that does change the game. So Field Yates, who does great stuff for us, we'll get him on the show sometime soon before we get to the draft. He put out a mock just a few days ago. And so this is the latest of everything that he knows about. And everything goes as the way it's expected at the very top. Caleb Williams still to Chicago, although I still feel like, you know, you never know on that one. Yeah. Jaden Daniels from LSU, that you love him. The Commanders go that route, and they take him. Drake May, who's getting – it's amazing the negative press that he keeps getting from people. He would go to 3 with the Patriots.
Yeah.
And then at 4, as you mentioned, the Cardinals. And what they do here is going to really change everything. Do they trade out? Do they just go for the skill player that they wanted for?
Yeah, I feel like they got to get Kyler Murray somebody to work with.
Yeah, and Marvin Harrison.
Brown.
Yeah, so he says Marvin Harrison. He says that this feels too good to overthink it because they say Harrison's pro-ready and that it's perfect for what they need. And, you know, you put him there. He replaces obviously Hollywood Brown, who left. So that's the one they make. And then he has a projected trade. And you brought up the Vikings. The Vikings and the Chargers make the trade, and the Vikings get J.J. McCarthy at 5, which you and I both go, what?
Go ahead.
You and I both just go, are you serious? But that's what they do. In his mock, that's what he thinks could happen here. Now that puts the Giants at 6, and that gives them all the options that you want on the table. Malik Nabers would be the pick.
Yeah,
and you would love that for the Giants, wouldn't you?
Yes. I mean, 6 foot, like Jamar Chase, a guy that can run after the catch, a big physical receiver,
yeah.
But also a vertical
missed
threat
tackle.
As well.
People miss tackles on him left and right in the college game.
That would be a perfect pick for them.
So then after that, again, follows the way you think. Tennessee would go with Joe Alt, the tackle that the Jets would love to get their hands on but won't. Falcons go defense.
Yeah, first.
And then the Bears at 9, and this is where it gets
– Adunze.
Yeah, Adunze. Because if the Bears take a young quarterback, why don't you also get the young wide receiver?
Yep.
And you just have them grow up together. They already have DJ Moore. They already have Keenan Allen. And so you have two vets that the young guy can come in and work with.
Yeah, because Allen's only going to be there for a year. He's 33 years old.
Right.
They pretty much just got him for a one-year rental pretty much.
Yeah. So, again, the Giants will at least have the pick of 2 of the 3. And the feeling is that they will go wide receiver.
And the Jets are just stuck there, and it's like it's not any of the top guys that you would think.
Mm-hmm.
So you ask yourself, if you're the Jets, would you want to move back? But it's nobody who else is coming up for somebody.
After that, you still have – there's still quarterbacks to be taken now, but you, as the –
yeah,
the Chargers would then fall to 11 when their deal with Minnesota, and they would take J.C. Latham, who you said would fit perfect as a right tackle. You and I kind of predicted this.
Yeah, but you're sitting there – if you're the Jets, you're sitting there at 10. So what do?
So you think take Latham and have him as a – you know, he's a right tackle now. He's not a left tackle.
It don't matter. You need a right tackle, too. You need
both.
So he'd
be your backup behind
Morgan Moses, you know, coming off his surgery. They still like Carter Warren, and they don't mind Carter Warren at left tackle.
At left tackle? All right. So you have two young guys sort of as your left and right tackle backups.
But the Bauer thing, as people believe, is still there because do you think that he's the most dynamic player? Is he the number one guy rated on your board? Irregardless of position.
Well, again, Field has them going Brock Bowers as well. I mean, Mel Kiper has it too. Everybody said the Jets can't possibly pass on this guy.
Because
he's that big of a difference maker.
I mean, that's equivalent to them, in my opinion, if that's the case and that's how the philosophy is, then that's equivalent to them going out and getting a number one receiver. Because you look at what LaPorta did last year for the Lions. He had like damn near 900 yards receiving.
Yeah.
And if you add that to what you think you're going to get from Garrett Wilson at 1,000-plus yards with Aaron Rodgers, and you can add 900 yards there, and then, you know, Mike Williams on the other side, if you can add another 1,000, that's 3,000 yards between three players. You know Brees going
to
get about 600-700.
So now
you're looking at Aaron Rodgers throwing for like 4,500 yards.
You would have to really feel good about what you did at offensive line to pass on, or you just aren't that impressed with Latham or with Fuaga, who are both going to be there.
But it's still guys. It's a guy from Duke, but he's inside. But it's a kid that may fall to the second round from Arizona. And people see him, you know, maybe at the bottom of the thing. So maybe Joe Douglas can – you know, give up some future assets, right? Like, you know, give up some future assets to move back up and to grab that guy in Arizona in the second round.
Arizona.
Arizona. He's a left tackle. He's pretty good. But, like, you know, of course, he's not as clean as the guys up there. But, just because you don't go first round. Oh,
Jordan Morgan?
Yes.
Does that sound like the name you're thinking of?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Now you get a tight end and you get Jordan Morgan. Mm-hmm. He can learn for a year behind these guys, be a backup. You're not tripping with that because you can say, all right, mm-hmm. we got the tight end. We got Morgan. All right, let's sign Bakhtiari. No,
all right.
Bakhtiari,
yeah.
Bakhtiari.
I still think that'll end up happening.
Yeah, but I'm saying you definitely do that if you got a young guy.
So you're convinced that – all right, but to get back to the Giants conversation, you're convinced at six it's wide receiver. Like, you don't think for a minute –
it has to be.
Because the only name left would be Bo Nix. Like, where are they going to go after the quarterbacks like we
Bo
just
Nix,
named?
Bo Nix to Denver. We see Bo Nix maybe going to Denver.
Okay.
People see Bo Nix to Denver.
I always forget his name. The kid from Florida State.
Oh yeah, Travis Jordan Travis.
Yeah, like you think that's that? Would
I think
be the
Jets in
go?
The fourth round.
Well, or the Giants, if they want to get a quarterback to put into their system.
No, that dude's he's gonna be a third or fourth round draft pick.
All right, and
I mean, he jacked up his knee. He's not. He just got cleared to throw.
Is Penix another possibility then for the Giants in the second round?
Yeah, I mean.
Here's the problem, though, is where do they pick in the second round?
If I'm Minnesota, I might take Penix at 23.
Are you sure?
And go get me. They lost Danielle Hunter. Oh, but they signed the kid from Houston.
See, the Giants don't have their pick is 39, and they don't have it. That's Carolina's pick.
What do you mean? They have 2 second round draft picks.
I know.
They got one from Leonard Williams.
But it's not high enough to get Penix will be off the board by then.
Man, they can move up. They can package that.
The Giants' first pick is at 47 in the second round. Penix would be gone.
They can move up. That's nothing. Moving up from the second round to the top of the top second round ain't that hard. Guys can be ready to do business.
This is a big offseason for Joe Shane because, as we said, they made the playoffs. They tried to, like, in that first year. But the reality was that you just saw that they wanted to make their own roster. He and Brian Daboll, they want their own players. They want to make it their own way. And I just – skill is so important in today's NFL, especially in the way Daboll wants to play, that I don't know if you take a flyer on a quarterback at six when, like you I can. Said, the you know, these are the names anybody cares about. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May. After that, I mean, J.J. McCarthy, he might be gone.
They got
Bo
Riddler.
Nix. Like, where are you going to go?
Riddler. People like Riddler, Spencer, Spencer Riddler, and they like to get Pratt from Tulane.
But you're not doing that at six.
No, hell no.
That's what
hell
I mean. No. So wide receiver seems to be the obvious move. I've heard many Giants fans talk about how badly they need a quarterback, and I'm telling you, unless – like, where are you going to get him? Yeah, and again, is it going to be J.J. McCarthy? Who are you going to get? So it's going to be the wide receiver. And it's interesting that if you think, well, the best one is going to be off the board, you don't know that. There's three of them. They're all really good. And as Matt Miller said, that you might end up, depending on who you ask, the power ranking of those three is not what you think. And somebody else might think, no. If they can get either Adunze or if they can get Neighbors, they might do better than if they would have been able to get Marvin Harrison Jr. You just never know. Adam Schefter also was on the K-Show talking about what he thinks the Giants will do at six.
If you're asking me today, 17 days out of the draft, what the Giants do at six, I would say non-quarterback. That's my belief. Now, we'll see how it actually unfolds. I don't think the Jets are going quarterback at 10. Do I think the Giants would go quarterback as early as round two for the right guy? I do, depending on who's there. And it's just a question of where the value meets your pick at that point. Maybe this draft comes and goes without them taking a quarterback. In a perfect world, I think that they'd like to get one. I would also guess that it's not at six. They could send out all the noise and smoke screens and do all the work they want to make people believe that to want to try to trade up to six so that if they can't trade up to Arizona at four or the Chargers at five, maybe the Giants are a pivot point at six. But again, if you're four, five, or six, are you prepared to bid farewell to Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Neighbors, players like that to move back for compensation? Yes, but again, it's going to take a lot. The acquiring team's going to have to give up a lot. There's a lot that has to happen, not to say it can't, but my guess would be that the Giants take a wide receiver or an offensive lineman.
I'll tell you what I would love to see happen, but won't, is the Jets and Giants help each other.
Hmm.
Can the Jets get up to six so they can get
Joe Alt,
and then the Giants could see how the draft is going, and Odunze could be there at 10.
I think you got to watch out for the Bears at 9.
Of course,
they're gonna get the quarterback, and they're gonna get the get the receiver to go with and learn from.
But remember, it would be because you still have Neighbors on the board, Neighbors, because they might take Neighbors and leave Odunze. See what I mean? Like you could still, and then you could get draft capital and, but if, for the Jets, is it worth it?
I think for the Jets, I think they're looking maybe to call and talk to San Diego. Remember.
Oh, I know you said that. Well, if Minnesota's trying to do it too, and they're more desperate.
Chad Alexander was with the Jets.
I know. You brought that up too. Now, I just find that stuff really fascinating. One more thing here, because you and I have talked about this. This has been a topic of conversation and debate when in regards to the Jets in their division. And I found it funny today watching Get Up today. It was RG3, Booger was on, and
Swaggoo.
Yes, Swaggoo was on as well. And they were talking about how, yes, the Buffalo Bills got worse, that losing Stephon Diggs is not a good thing. They are trending in the wrong direction. All those things that we have been talking about of why the Jets should have moved ahead of them. Booger will not give in. He keeps telling Greeny he's wrong and that the Jets are not better. And because the offensive line has the injury factor that is still there, and unless you can protect your 40-year-old quarterback, you're not going to win. So he was sticking to that.
Can the Bills protect Josh Allen?
But Swaggoo and everybody else is saying, no. You can't just say that the Bills, you can't make it a given anymore. They have not earned that, and their window might be closing. But how about we go to Adam Schefter? Because when the guys on the K-Show were asking him about where the Jets are in their division with the Bulls, Bills, here's what he said.
Is Aaron Rodgers healthy for 17 games? Yes. Tyron's healthy for 17 games? Mike Williams healthy for 17? Yeah, I'll take the Jets. If everybody's healthy, give me the Jets.
Everybody don't have to stay healthy. You're going to have some guys that miss games. Long as they're ready for the playoffs.
But I still think you have to say that. If everybody's healthy, we all know that that doesn't mean if everybody's fully healthy for the whole season. Because we know in the NFL, nobody's ever fully healthy for the whole season. But he's saying if you get through the season and everybody is still playing, these guys are still playing, and they put together enough of a season where all those bodies were on the field the majority of the time and the playoffs begin, then yes, he's taking the Jets. And I do think that's going to be the consensus at some point. No one's ready to say it yet, though. It's a real thing. They are the better team in the division.
People don't talk about that Mitch Moreland is no longer there with the Bills either. They're starting center for all those years. People act like they didn't lose major pieces.
They did. They certainly did. And
those players don't have to get hurt. They just left. They're not there. You might as well say they hurt.
All right. Well, that's the conversation there. We'll watch it. We still have 2 weeks before we get to the draft, but it is getting closer and closer, and it gets more and more intriguing, especially from a Giants perspective. They need a playmaker bad. They might still get a very good one. In fact, we might look back on this draft and say they got the better wide receiver. At least that's what some of the experts are saying. So something to certainly keep an eye on there. 800-919-3776. We, of course, have calls to continue to go to with you. But first, you know what's coming up next. Audiophiles has a lot of very interesting little things in it, and including Klay Thompson and something that he and Draymond Green had a conversation about. And also on college basketball on that level, what Dan Hurley said about the back-to-back championships and where he thinks that ranks all time, and the love Juan Soto is getting at Yankee Stadium. So much more to get to. Audiophiles next day with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. Well, they have the best record in baseball, and Juan Soto, a big reason why the Yankees have been successful so far this year. The free agent-to-be seems to be having the time of his life in the early going of the season, and earlier this morning on DiPietro and Rothenberg, Rick and Dave both said Juan Soto looks pretty comfortable already.
You know what I don't like? Because I want Soto to leave and ideally come
to
the Mets.
He's having too much fun.
I think at the end of the day, it's going to be the size of the check that's going to make the ultimate difference.
You never know.
He's out there in right field and signing autographs and, making friends. And here's the thing. I think he's in a really sweet spot to be here
with the
Yankees.
Right now, he's loving life. I mean, he's already talking about how this team bonded as a family. He reports about him and Glaber going out and eating dinner, having late night haircuts, the whole thing. Fans love him.
Love him.
He loves the fans. He's signing autographs, and he got off to a great start.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, It's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K. Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. Busy schedule tonight. You got the Marlins at the Yankees again. You got the Mets at the Braves again. You got Islanders-Rangers at UBS, the first of two games that they'll play against each other this week. And then the Knicks and the Bulls in Chicago. The Knicks has been in Chicago since Friday. And they went up to Milwaukee on Sunday, just played that game. And then back to Chicago they went yesterday. And they'll finish another game against the Bulls. And then they'll see the Bulls one more time on Sunday to close out the season. We're almost there, Barb. We got four games to go.
So if we don't get second place, it's because the Bulls did it.
Or the Bucks won.
Yeah, but you
I mean, the
beat.
Bucks still hold for second place. It's top four. The Knicks have a shot at top four and locking that in. But if they don't get it, you could argue that the Bulls probably had something to say about that. Yes. But they got to get some wins. Is clearly they have one more win. The magic number for tonight is for the playoffs for the top six is one. So they win one or the Heat lose and then they're in. So that's the first thing you got to do is just avoid the play-in, which they should do. But then after that, it's trying to at the worst get a top four so you get first round home court. And that's the next thing you got to do. And then after that, you see if you can get into the 2-3 bracket and avoid the Celtics. And then I've got something that Brian Scalabrine said that we'll play later in the show about that matchup that if you're a Knicks fan, you want to hear this. Because yeah. Scalabrine does Celtics games. He does their broadcast. He also works on NBA radio. What he had to say was really interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to come to one playoff game.
Just one?
Yeah, just one. I like to see the game on TV. It's actually better to see it on TV than it is in person.
Especially when I'm calling it, right?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'd like to see you. You know what I'm saying?
You
see
never even reacted. By the way, you never gave me anything about my performance on Sunday night. It's the last time I'm going to do a TV game this season.
No, I told you, listen, I loved it, man. And I tell you what, like, you can get some of those guys to come on our show, man, because they see you. They feel you. You know, they was warming up right behind you, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
They feel you. Like, oh, okay, he plugged. All right, he's him. You know what I'm saying? Let's go talk to my dog. You know what I mean?
Right. And then I do that, and then the Knicks say no. So that's how that works. Not available.
It's crazy.
And that's reality.
We can't even get DiPaccinzo.
Who?
Let's get the black guy, man. Let's get the black guy on.
Hartenstein?
Which one? Let's get the black guy on. You know what I'm saying? Let's put the brother card in. Come on, brother.
Hartenstein.
Let's get the brother in, Hartenstein.
See, you and I can connect to him because he's German and he's black.
That's what I'm saying.
Related to both of us.
Come on, brother. You say, yeah, brother. Like, what you mean, brother? Yeah, you know what I mean, brother. German brother. Black brother. Brother.
don't know. Maybe during the week off, they'll throw us a bone and send us somebody. It'd be great. It'd be good to have somebody else. We had Brunson on a while ago. Be nice to have him on again. He's got a good personality. But the whole damn team, is everybody's got a personality in this team.
Scrappy dudes, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And so, anyways, we'll get to all that stuff. But right now, it's time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio Files.
The Audio File.
Okay, Audio Files. We could start in so many different places, but let's see. Do you want to start baseball, college basketball, or do you want to start?
Come on, man.
What?
Come on, man. Did you see the Mets and what they did yesterday after everybody ridiculed them? And, you know, I mean, even Gary Cohn was like, hit list through seven. Yeah.
Well, yeah. If that was rock bottom, they have certainly.
That's been a rally call. This seems like rock bottom. They got a picture of Gary Cohn, and he got a bikini underneath, and they pulling it down like Major League. You know what I'm saying? Right now they down to the clavicle. You know what I'm saying?
Well, they get a big win over the Braves, a comeback win. Nimmo has two home runs. He gets out of his slump. He's just like Stanton. He just hits them in bunches. And then there's DJ Stewart, who hits the go-ahead home run, which ended up being the game winner to take it. What was, a little bit of a surprise, but a good one in Atlanta over the Braves. Here's DJ Stewart on his game winner.
I mean, I've been waiting all season for that hit, for it to be a home run in that situation, help the team. It felt great, but I don't come up in that situation if Brett's not on base. We don't fight the entire game. Nimmo, I mean, he honestly led us offensively. Our guys coming in the bullpen, eating up innings for us. Reed, it was special.
Yeah, I mean, it's important to see all this stuff come together. And Nimmo getting out of the slump was big, obviously, for them.
And it wasn't even Diaz that got the saves, huh? No, who the hell this dude was. But he got the save.
Okay. Well, meanwhile, for Carlos Mendoza, this is important to kind of like, again, what you heard DJ say. Everybody involved, and Beatty's playing well. Like, this stuff's really important, and because again, they looked like they started out the season and nothing was going right. And so, for the manager, it's important to see everybody pulling their weight.
What a team win, for us to be able to come back after getting down early in the game 4-0, got back in the game. Obviously, Nimmo with a huge game, but I think from top to bottom, contribution from a lot of people. Offensively, obviously Nimmo, Stewart with a 2-run homer for his first hit of the year, coming through, in a huge situation. Bullpen, Reed Garrett, keeping us in the game, giving us huge innings out of the pen. Diekman, Drew Smith, and then obviously Lopia at the end. Taylor making that play. Like, again, overall, very good team win.
Big team win for the Mets, and they'll be right at it again in Atlanta today. Meanwhile, the Yankees keep rolling, and Juan Soto hit his first Yankee Stadium home run while wearing pinstripes, of course. The Yankees blew the game open early. It was like fourth inning. I had the game on, right? And I'm helping with making dinner because it was an early start. And I turn around, and my wife's like, 6-0. I'm like, 6-0? I turn around, it's Soto. Hits a 3-run home run, a couple of 3-run home runs that they had there. But for Soto, the fans, they have, from day one, fallen in love with him. And it's not surprising. He's a superstar.
Yeah.
But he has loved every minute of this, including the way the crowd reacted to his first home
Great
run.
Great to see it out there. Just amazing how the crowd reacted. It was really cool. They really surprised me with that one.
Surprising?
Yeah, it's going to be tough to see him in a Mets jersey next year.
Well, no, everybody feels like you got to keep this guy. Like he fits everything that you want a Yankee to be. A superstar who's not afraid of the stage. The crowd certainly loves him. This has been a perfect start for him, but he kind of likes this team, this group. Like, I love the fact that Aaron Judge acknowledges what they have in Soto a lot of times, and they seem to be having fun in the outfield together.
We all feel like a family right now, and it's only been like 11 games, and we already feel like we're sticking together, we're pushing together, we all want the same thing. So I think that's how I describe it.
By the way, how relieved do you think he is to be out of San Diego and away from that group? Remember how that just seemed like they had a lot of dysfunction in that clubhouse?
Yeah, but the clubhouse was a mess. Let's see how it goes, like, when adversity hits. Right now, everything is good right now. And, let's see, we'll see, what grit, when they sustain the injuries. It was good to know that Gary Cole threw off the mound. meaning flat ground, right? He'd throw from the mound. He threw,
but starting to get it progress, yeah.
He's still
got a month to go at
in
least.
In effect, that Nestor gave you eight.
He was, yeah.
No, he was going against JV team, SEC team, I guess. But still, for him to give you eight, man, that's impressive, especially after his last outing, you know what I mean?
He was lights out, which his first two starts, he was falling behind, and you had to chase the scoreboard with him. But in
so
this game, and again,
Elijah,
the Marlins aren't very good. We know that. But still, that was a good performance by him. Yeah, very good. And again, it was good to see. To me, I think it's important for us just in general. The Yankees, okay, they have to get a good start. But the Mets have started to win games, and that's a far cry from,
nobody in the ballpark, 1-5. Hitless through seven. Feels like rock bottom.
Mm. Yeah, that was rock bottom. And from there, it only went up.
When you say rock bottom, you can't get any lower than that, right?
They didn't realize they were going to get some Tigers. You know what I'm saying? They just didn't realize the competition they was going against. They're going to look good when they go everybody against the Tigers, even though the Tigers lost to the Pirates yesterday. But that's a different story for a different day.
Okay. Meanwhile,
how do Pirates get good, man? And I see Aroldis Chapman closing.
Well, you lose a lot. You're going to get high draft picks. You're eventually going to get some good talent.
Aroldis Chapman looked like the Rock. That's how swole this dude is. Bro, I need to check this dude. He need to go pee in a cup. Have you seen Aroldis Chapman?
I did one time laying on a couch with a elderly woman. That was weird.
Bro, yes, no.
I know they say it was his mom. I don't. I
hope that
wasn't
hard
to believe.
I hope he just like old women. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, she got dentures. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? But Aroldis, man, Aroldis looked like he did two cycles of, I don't know what the hell he on, man. This dude busted. This dude looked big, and he got a long sleeve shirt on, man. I'm like, bro, the hell no. This dude looked like he about 260.
Moving on in audio files. So UConn men won the national championship last night. Dan Hurley, back-to-back champions for him. And when you think about it, of course, the last time there was a back-to-back champion, Billy Donovan in Florida did that. That's that Joakim Noah and that whole crew. They were really good.
Corey Brewer.
You don't really see this doesn't happen. Back-to-back's a very hard thing to do at Division One. But you talk about UConn's become like a true blue blood. I mean, they have more championships in the last 25 years than UNC does, than Duke does, than Kentucky does. It's incredible. They have had a hell of a run as a program. And he said he thinks what they've done is more impressive than what you saw Billy Donovan done with his guys, because those were four-year players.
It's the best two-year run, I think, in a very, very long time, just because of everything we lost from last year's team. To lose that much, do what we did again, it's got to be as impressive a two-year run as a program's had since prior to whoever did it before Duke. To me, it is more impressive than what Florida and Duke did. They brought back their entire teams, and we lost some major players.
I mean, that's just the way of the new world in college basketball.
I can't say it's more impressive because he went out and bought what he got. And he brought in a freshman and developed him. He went out and supplemented exactly what he lost and got exactly what his team needed.
But you're still taking new players and putting them together in one season versus you had guys that went in the first round off that Florida team. They played for 3 years together.
Ain't that what Calipari did all the time?
Yeah, one and done.
But he
never won back-to-back, though.
They went and put in a couple of guys. They put in a couple of guys.
It's new pieces in 1 year, and they make a run made.
But the majority of their team was backups last year that graduated to starters, and then they went out and got two great players that fit exactly what they needed. So I can't say that because they're literally doing free agency where they go to the transfer portal
what they need. Free agency doesn't always work where you get two guys and suddenly – how's it working out in Phoenix for the Suns? You can't just take players and throw them together and expect you're going to be better than – the Purdue team, they stayed together.
It worked.
They got
out,
knocked down in the first round last year. It was embarrassing. They stayed together. Zach Edey was player of the year again, and they still were able to beat them because they were just a better team.
It worked out for Don Staley, didn't it?
Yeah,
they went out and got Pau-Pau, you know what I'm saying? Because they needed shooting, they went out and got it.
I don't know. What's the point? They got to the – last year until they lost to Iowa.
No, I'm saying we're talking about that he lost players and got them back, but he went out and supplemented and got exactly what he needed.
Isn't that what a coach does?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So I can't say it's as impressive
versus
having the
same guys who show up and know the system already and won a championship last year, and the exact group runs it back again and wins another championship, which is a lot easier to do.
A lot of people get greedy when they win. You know what I mean? So I can't say it's as impressive. It's impressive, but we.
All right,
you disagree. We're gonna have to start grading this new landscape differently. Talking makes me hungry.
So how about this, though, with the Kentucky job open and Hurley winning back-to-back championships, you know, you talk about blue bloods. Is Kentucky now going to start reaching out to Dan Hurley and throwing all kinds of money at him to replace Calipari? Dan Hurley, you know, you win a championship and the very first question is, are you going to stay? Are you looking for any other jobs?
Yeah. I don't think that's a concern. You know, my wife, you should have her answer that.
Yeah, she's from New Jersey. She's already mad at him for moving to schools like Rhode Island and then UConn. And that's not that far from Jersey. Kentucky's a lot farther from Jersey, and she's apparently, you know, all set with leaving the Northeast. So there's that. I had one more thing I wanted to give you. We have a very little time on this one, so let's get to it. Klay Thompson was on Draymond Green's podcast, and Draymond Green asked him the question that I'm surprised they never have talked about privately. It seems like they haven't, but Draymond asked Klay for his honesty, and I'm going to ask you if you think Klay was being honest with his answer.
I want to ask you this question, and I want to ask it because I'm afraid of the answer. When I get ejected or something of that nature or suspended, what do you feel? How do you feel? Please be brutally honest with me. It's going to crush me, but nah. I need to hear it.
Well, I mean, it happens. I mean, you know what, Dre, you're kind of a throwback player. So when you're not out there, it's like a piece of us is gone. Me and Steph are really nice guys, like probably too nice, you know? And we could never be ourselves and have the freedom we do on the court without you. We just need you. And that like disappointment and that feeling of just like shaking your head that just comes from like, dang, man, we can't do this without you.
Is he still being nice?
Yeah, he's still being, be brutally honest. Like, come on, man, stop it. We all know what's about to go down, man. He knows that this is his last ride. He ain't going to be there no more. Draymond, they stuck with because they got him on the three more years on the deal. Ain't nobody going to trade for Draymond Green and all his antics because he doesn't have that equity with everybody else. So we know he's not going nowhere. Steph's not going nowhere. So this is Klay's last ride. Like, Klay's not going to get the money that he feels like he's deserving of. He's not going to want to take that. Out of the Splash Brothers, yeah, you can say that Draymond's the most important because he's unique. But, you know, Klay is probably second on the totem pole as far as who deserves the more money. So even though he's not the same player anymore, he's going to say, man, if Draymond got 25, man, I'm at least worth 35. He's not going to get that there. He'll get that somewhere else because nobody loves you more than your opponents. So you can get that money from somebody else in the Western Conference who says he doesn't go to L.A. as they try and figure out something with LeBron James and give him another shooter that can open up the court. It's been tough with Caleb. What is it? Caleb, the dude that they got from the Heat, been hurt all year. The Lakers, they got the kid named Caleb, I think, from Miami last year.
No, Gabe Vincent.
Yeah, Caleb. Yeah, exactly. So a guy like, you know, they've got very few moves that he got, but I can see maybe Klay going there.
Yeah, I could see that too, but I could also see him, and I know you're going to think this is crazy, I could see him taking less to stay with Golden State because he has talked a lot about his mental health and what matters most right now in his career versus
flying
anything else.
Flying his boat plane.
And he just loves living there, so we'll see. But, yeah, I think Klay was being nice because you know when Steph gets upset about him getting tossed, that ain't like, oh, because we're better when you're – no, this is more like you're
on,
putting
man.
The
Throw
team
–
you're putting yourself ahead of the team, and you still can't get over this. You still can't learn from it, and it's maddening because we should be better and we're not. All right, that's Audio Files. 800-919-3776 is the number. So we'll get into some Knicks. I know everybody's asking, like, what about the Knicks? I'll get to the Knicks. 2 o'clock, we'll do the Knicks. There's plenty on there, including what Brian Scalabrine said about potential matchup of the Knicks and the Celtics. But next, real quick, we have to hit on something happening in baseball. There is now this growing battle between pitchers and the rest of baseball about the pitch clock and how it might be affecting all these elbow injuries that we're seeing popping up. So we'll talk about that and more coming up. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking Splash! Shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
I just stepped outside just to feel the sun on my face a little more. It is beautiful out.
Better soak it up today because you're going to get wet tomorrow.
I mean, it's, honestly, this is what you've been waiting for, and hopefully we don't have this like for like 3 days and then it's like 90 degrees and humid. 72 degrees, 74 in the city. And the clouds are coming in, yes. And as Bart did mention, we are expected to get some rain tomorrow, but it's mostly going to be overcast tomorrow. But still, I'll take this right now and try to enjoy it because we've had nothing but rain. It's been freaking annoying. Anyways, before we get all to the Knicks stuff and the Power Hour and everything else, I wanted to mention this because Gerrit Cole has spoken up, and so has Verlander as well. But Gerrit Cole earlier this week talked about how we're seeing suddenly all these different injuries happening to all the pitchers. And, you know, the Yankees just lost Loaisiga. And it just feels like, what is going on here? Shane Bieber, Spencer Strider, we're talking about the Braves, the Mets are playing the Braves. And it's just like, what's happening? Guys are popping their UCLs faster, it feels like, more than ever. And there's become this pushback from pitchers like Cole, who believe it's because the pitch clock is now forcing a little more stress on pitchers. Now, remember, what we have last year, Ohtani, DeGrom. You know, you had a lot of these pitchers. So, Cole says that it's the pitch clock, and he feels like that it's something that you can't overlook. He says we are really going to understand the effects of the pitch clock maybe 5 years down the road, but to dismiss it out of hand because the baseball put out a statement dismissing it.
Yeah, come on, man.
He said, I think the players obviously are most important part of the industry and the product. To take care of the players is important for both sides. Now, baseball pushed back on any notion that this had to do with the pitch clock. And they put out a statement saying this, despite unanimous player opposition and significant concerns regarding health and safety, the commissioner's office reduced the length of the pitch. This is the PA, I should say. Reduced the length of the pitch clock last December, just one season removed from imposing the most significant rule change in decades. So this is Tony Clark, the union executive with this statement over the weekend. He said, since then, our concerns about the health impacts and reduced recovery time have only intensified. The league's unwillingness thus far to acknowledge or study the effects of these profound changes is an unprecedented threat to our game and its most valuable asset, the players. So Major League Baseball then put out a statement pushing back, saying one has nothing to do with the other. You know, they said that the statement from the PA ignores the empirical evidence and much more significant long-term trend over multiple decades of velocity and spin increases that are highly correlated with arm injuries. So they're basically saying it has nothing to do with the clock. It's the fact that spin rate has become such a big thing with guys that you're snapping. Yes. And that's the reason why you're seeing this, not the pitch clock. So I think here's the problem. I think the pitch clock is good for the sport. It's sped up games. It's made it quicker.
I mean, I'm sure it was some pitchers that already pitched within that prime time frame anyway. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure it was already ones that did that. Like, they whine about everything, man. Like,
but I do, because I've never ever heard about spin rate. You never heard about this stuff before.
Right.
That's become a new thing in the sport.
Into the Astros, and you start hearing about Gerrit Cole and how his spin rate went up tremendously.
Yeah.
And so, then how it was down when he came through it, it came here.
So as a fan, like, because it's what's most important, do you care? Like, no, the clock's good and the pitchers are going to have to learn to adjust. Or is it like, no, we can't lose these pitchers. This is terrible and they need to make a change. This is going to be a very interesting debate going on between the two.
But who, right. who have we lost? We ain't lose Jacob DeGrom because Jacob DeGrom was already trending that way anyway. Some
significant pitchers this year. All right, we have Power Hour coming up. We'll get into Knicks. We'll take your calls on this and more. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk, down 4-0 in Atlanta. I don't know that many Met fans thought there was a comeback brewing last night for the Mets, but that's exactly what happened. And good to see one of their ice-cold players atop the lineup get going as well. Earlier this morning on DiPietro and Rothenberg, Rick and Dave talked about that guy.
Nimmo, and he's had a real slow start to the season. He was unbelievable, and he hit nukes last night.
Yeah, a couple home runs, five RBI game. Brett Beatty's been really good, too.
Really good.
I mean, he's been a real surprise.
Love to Nimmo. You win the first game, you have three more in Atlanta. Would you take 1-2 in the next three?
I take 2-2 in the fourth.
I think I would as well.
Yeah, I don't think we need to get crazy.
No.
Pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered.
Yeah.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.